You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. Whoa, oh, oh, oh. The Punt Podcast, in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One. It's 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Great, the Boss is up for Manager of the Month. They've been phenomenal. Their odds against. Love it, love it, love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes, listen on Audio Boom, or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello everyone and welcome along to The Punt Podcast. We're looking at the Football League playoff finals on this edition of the podcast. We've got one coming up on Saturday. We start with the League 2 playoff final. The League 1 playoff final is on Sunday, and then the Championship playoff final is on Monday. We're going to be talking to our three Football League experts throughout the course of the podcast, and as per usual, they'll be looking at their respective leagues. Al Ross on League 2, Gav Pushilovsky on League 1, and Pete Farries, of course, on the Championship throughout the course of the next few minutes or so, and they'll be putting up better plenty across this weekend's action in the Football League as the final promotion places are decided. We're going to go through these games in reverse chronological order. Let's first take a look at the Championship playoff final, which is actually played last of the three playoff finals over the course of this weekend. This is Monday afternoon, 3 o'clock kickoff, as indeed they all are on Monday. Aston Villa are 5-4. The draw is 9-4, and Derby are priced up at 12-5. Already got loads of enhanced odds offers on this game. Derby to score in both halves, that was 7-2, it's now 9-2. Jack Grealish to score in an Aston Villa win, that was 9-2, now out to 6-1. Aston Villa to win both halves was 11-2, now 7s. Harry Wilson to score in a Derby win was 11-2, now 7-1. And Tammy Abraham and Jack Marriott both to score in 90 minutes. That was 11-2 and is now 8-1. All the enhanced odds there are 90 minutes only, but loads of different ways in on this game. Delighted to be joined on the line by Punt Podcast Championship expert Pete Farries. How are you, Pete?
I'm very well, Sam. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, congratulations are in order, first of all, Pete. Another profitable season for yourself, tipping on the Championship. And you exceeded all other Napsters on this podcast in terms of profit. I doff my cap to you, sir.
Thank you very much. And if people who follow us all on Twitter had realised, Al Ross would crow, Gav would crow. I've just been very sort of magnanimous and very calm about it. No, it's been a good year. I mean, I've got to say, I mean, from a personal point of view, it's been one of my worst years. I think it's been a very, very difficult year, Championship-wise. You know, you've seen teams fly up really fast and then drop back down just as fast. It's been a tough old time, I think, this season of Championship, but it's nice to have hopefully helped people out. Landing in profit's always very nice as well, because I think, you know, going back to all of the league podcasts we've done over the last couple of years, I think I've had one year where I finished it out of profit, and that will haunt me until the day I die. So it's nice to crawl over the line this time around.
Indeed, you've done more than crawl over the line, to be fair. It's been a good season for followers of your Championship nap. On to Monday's game, of course. Championship playoff final, often dubbed as the richest game in club football. We know financially what a place in the Premier League means to clubs. We know what a great deal it means, obviously, to the fans and to the players. Before we get fully stuck in to the match, just want to run through your thoughts, kind of as a season as a whole, these two teams, starting with Villa, who obviously ended the season on an incredibly good run. I think they broke their club record for successive wins. Much of that coincided with the return of Jack Grealish, of course. No doubt we'll talk plenty about him over the next couple of minutes. But they came into the playoffs with the favourites tag, I suppose. Despite finishing fifth, they were the team that people expected to be emerging victorious from this playoff campaign. What have you made of them as a season whole team? And what did you make of them over the two legs against West Brom?
The two legs against West Brom were chaotic, weren't they? I mean, particularly that first game. It was a chaotic couple of games, as the playoffs often are. And I think across the board this year, we've had some really good playoffs in the Championship, League One and League Two. Across the season, obviously bringing Dean Smith in was a masterstroke. I mean, I'd seen him quite a few times when I was working down in the lower leagues, and he was the manager of Walsall, and they played really good football under a tight budget, and they were playing attractive stuff. Obviously, he then went to Brentford and did great there as well, and has come over to Villa. He's got them scoring. He's got them looking so much freer than they did before. And don't forget, this is a club that I think, you know, sort of Ruben Branch have needed a bit of a dust down and a bit of a start again, because you had the issues with Tony Gea. You've had the issues with Obviously, just poor performances and huge overpayments for players who weren't good enough or weren't right, maybe more so than weren't good enough. So, yeah, I think Dean Smith has done an incredible job. They're scoring so many goals as well. I mean, that's the scary thing about the way they finished the season. Going up to those playoffs, they were just bagging for fun. And, yeah, you can say, well, two goals every time isn't a lot. But actually, when you're consistently scoring two goals, it is a lot. And weirdly, and I think what is interesting, we'll talk about this in a second, they kind of started this phenomenal run when they destroyed Derby. That's what's interesting to me, that back at the start of March, they were looking a little bit wobbly. They then battered the living daylights out of Derby and never looked back. So that's really interesting for this Championship final game, I think.
It's a very interesting point that you make there. And what about Derby as well? Obviously, there's been a fair bit of scrutiny on Derby this season, perhaps from supporters who don't necessarily follow the Championship regularly because of the Frank Lampard factor, of course. Plenty of people keen to see how he got on his first season as a manager. They obviously had the huge comeback against Leeds over two legs. They were obviously found themselves 2-0 down on aggregate at one stage and ended up winning the second leg 4-2 in a real crazy game. Came through that. Frank Lampard was obviously very emotional after the match. Whether or not it's to be believed, but there's been rumours there was quite a big celebration on social media after the semi-finals, which would seem a bizarre thing to do with a final to play. As I say, that's all conjecture whether or not it took place or not. I'm not just sure. They only just sort of scraped into the playoffs, having been there thereabouts all season, but did have to fend off challenges from Borough and Bristol City on the final day. What have you made of Derby this season?
Yeah, they've been an interesting side, Derby, this season. I mean, don't forget, they went through a long run of winning like two games in about 10 or 11 games at one point this year. So, you know, Derby historically are a club who have weird second... they always have half of the season, whether it be the first or the second, where they're a bit odd and they struggle a little bit. And this time they've had a second half of the season, but they've still got over the line and done very well. I mean, I would say that some of Derby's transfer dealings have been very, very good, even just in terms of the loan market. I mean, the fact is they brought in Mason Mount, who, of course, I'm sure Frank Lampard's Chelsea connections helped with that. Phenomenal central midfielder at this level. Really great young talent, of course, scored in the playoffs as well. And they've got Harry Wilson. And Harry Wilson has scored some phenomenal goals this season. Set piece extraordinaire as well, Harry Wilson. An unbelievable talent that they've brought in from Liverpool. And those guys, along with a couple of others, the likes of Huddleston's actually had a very decent season. Tom Lawrence is a brilliant player at this level generally. But along with a couple of players who are already there, the likes of Mount and Wilson have really helped to solidify and make this team a very, very good team. We're going to get on to the bet in a second. I don't think they're going to have enough for this game, though.
There's a good point you made a little bit earlier on about Villa thumping Derby to sort of kickstart that incredible run they went on at the end of the season. It wasn't just that game at Villa Park. The reverse fixture as well, Villa were also comfortable winners of that. Won the two regular season games this year by an aggregate scoreline of 7-0. They've really had Derby's number this season. In terms of coming into this game, do I get the impression you're leaning towards Villa?
I am. I very much am. Listen, I mean, Leeds had a phenomenal season, but you felt a little bit. I know that final game, they scored twice in that final game, the 4-2 Derby win, but you felt, I mean, there were some injuries for Leeds coming into that game. It was certainly up front. The squad depth at Leeds, for me, is still not there, and that's something that if Bielsa stays, they're going to have to work on. But what's interesting to me is I never particularly felt that either of those two sides, I felt like whichever side of Villa and West Brom got through would be the team to back. And I'm not moving from that. I mean, Villa, like you say, is 7-0 on aggregate over the course of two games against Derby. Unbelievable goal-scoring prowess. And listen, ultimately, what we have to say is, despite this Frank Lampard thing, you know, Frank Lampard's taken over as manager, he has done a good job. He's done a very good job, factually. He has. Because if you basically finish in the top six of the Championship, I don't care where your clubs come from, what club you are, or who you are, if your team in a league as tough as the Championship finished top six, you've done very well. It was what made the sacking of Darren Moore, even though West Brom's performances weren't good, a bit odd. Because if you're in that top six in the Championship, accept it, you've done a good job. So he's done a good job, but I am going, you're absolutely right, I'm going hell for leather on Villa here, I have to say. And I've got to also say that you look through the last sort of 5 years, and in fact beyond, of Championship playoff finals, they're incredibly tight affairs, Sam, aren't they? They're always unders on the goals.
Of the three playoff finals coming up this weekend, potentially there'll be goals in the League One, but Championship and League Two, I think are going to be particularly cagey affairs.
Well, actually, I was about to say, they're always unders, but I think this will be overs.
Really? Okay.
Yes, I was. You know, it's important when you put up a bet like this, you make it clear to people that actually the trend is definitely unders. And it is. No question, no argument. And there's obviously a reason for that. But with 7-0 on aggregate over two games, with the goal-scoring prowess they've got, I mean, I've got lots of bets here, but minus a goal, Villa is 3-1, and actually one of my favourite bets.
OK. Villa minus a goal is 3-1. Over 2.5 in the game is even money. Spin us through some of your other bets then, Pete.
Yeah, so obviously the minus one Villa doesn't necessarily have to land the overs, but I actually think they'll score a few here. So, you know, fair enough. The Grealish to score in a Villa win, enhanced odds up from 9-2 to 6-1. There is nothing wrong with that whatsoever. There's an interesting one as well that Conor Hourihane, if he starts, might be one to look at here any time as well. Hourihane, by the way, at any time is 19-5. He's been brilliant against Derby this season. Scored twice against them at Villa Park. Scored against them away at Derby as well. So he's actually scored three goals in two games. And if you're looking at the seven goals, he scored almost 50% of those two matches' goals himself. So you might want to look at Conor Hourihane if you're looking at that kind of bet. 19-5 any time. Yeah, Grealish 17-5 looks good. Yeah, Abraham any time at 6-5 looks good. I also would look quite high on the cards here, which will be available before Monday on the William Hill website. Something like over 45, maybe even over 55 booking points. And I know that West Brom Villa has other things attached to it, which is why there were so many cards. But don't forget Derby Leeds had quite a few as well. Mm-hmm. And I think look quite high on the cards. You're over 45 and 55 booking points, I think would be interesting. But yeah, listen, Villa minus a goal isn't necessarily overs, but I actually think Villa will win this, not at a canter, but comprehensively.
Okay, a pretty comfortable win then for Aston Villa in the Championship playoff final. We're going to be speaking to Gav P very shortly on League One. But just before we wrap up, Pete, a favourite bet, if you've got one?
Oh, Hourihane might be. No, do you know what? I'm going to go with Villa minus a goal at 3-1.
Okay.
And then that gives me a bit of coverage on the unders, should that happen. But yeah, I'm going to go Villa minus a goal 3-1, 7-0 on aggregate. I don't care, this is a playoff final. You're coming into that with that in your mind, no question.
Fingers crossed that will be another winning selection then on the Championship season for Pete. Villa minus a goal when they take on Derby in the Championship playoff final on Monday. Pete, thank you very much for that and enjoy the game.
Cheers, mate.
The meat in the playoff sandwich this weekend is, of course, the League One playoff final. This takes place on Sunday afternoon. It's another 3 o'clock kickoff between Charlton and Sunderland. 19-10 for Charlton. The draw is 11-5 and Sunderland priced up at 6-4. There'll be plenty of enhanced odds offers on this game as well. Loads of match specials, loads of different ways to get involved. This, of course, will be a hashtag Your Odds Match 2. The man with his ear to the ground in League One throughout the course of the season for us on the Punt Podcast has, of course, been Gav Pushlovsky. And I'm delighted to say Gav joins me on the line now. Gav, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Looking forward to all three of these playoff finals coming up over the course of the weekend. We're going to talk League One, obviously, Charlton versus Sunderland. And an interesting game that this one looks as well. Both these sides, I suppose, Gav, have got more long-term ambitions than just the Championship. Both teams will be looking to get back into the Premier League. That's the blueprint. Sunday is, of course, the first step for them. I suppose both of them will be looking to emulate your beloved Blades over the next couple of years. But this is an important first step.
Yes, it's a very important step. If you were, with the greatest respect to League One, if you're a club like Sunderland and even Charlton, who are very much used to being in the Premier League, Championship is absolute minimum. So to be in League One, it's just a quagmire, it's quicksand, and you need to get out as quickly as you can, otherwise you could be stuck in there. As you said, my team was stuck in League One for 6 years. And after a while, going to these new grounds and these new clubs that you won't normally play, it wears off pretty quickly, and you're desperate to get out. This would have been a Premier League fixture in the 90s, early noughties as well. If anything, both these clubs, this should be a Championship playoff. I know Lee Bowyer at Charlton has said that they've got the infrastructure to be in the Premier League. We know that Sunderland, with the size of the club, they easily could be in the Premier League as well. So for these two sides to both be in League One is just a sign of how badly things have gone for Charlton and Sunderland, because this easily could be a Premier League fixture.
Absolutely. And with that, obviously, comes a hell of a lot of pressure on the players as well, Gab, because it's not as if one of these teams are here and they think, wow, we've done really well this season. You know, this is almost a bit of a free roll. Massive amounts of pressure on both sets of players to achieve promotion because, as you say, really and truly, League One and even being in the playoffs in League One, not satisfactory for either of them. Do you think we'll see a few nerves on Sunday?
I think we will from Sunderland, because we were fully expecting Sunderland and the size of the club. I mean, Sunderland must be one of the biggest League One clubs that we've had in a long time, because they're absolutely huge, and they could easily get 40, 50,000 a week if they're playing really good football at home. So for them to drop down to League One, it's fully expected to bounce straight back. And it was in their hands, Sunderland, as well. I mean, you're talking 3 or 4 weeks from the end of the season. They had games in hand. If they win their games in hand, they go up automatically. And they didn't. They let it slide. And their form is actually pretty poor, Sunderland. So I think there's a lot of pressure on Sunderland. Charlton have just become what is, unfortunately, a standard League One side. They had a run at the Championship. They got promoted 4 or 5 seasons ago. They had a run in the Championship. It didn't quite work out. They got relegated, and they've been in the League One for a couple of seasons. So I think there's a lot more pressure on Sunderland. And I really fancy Charlton in this one, because they're coming into this in great form, scoring lots of goals. And I really fancy Charlton to win this one.
Yeah, as you say, a very rough end to the season, really, for Sunderland. Defeats the likes of Coventry, Fleetwood and Southend. Drop points against Peterborough, against Burton Albion as well. Really did sort of stutter over the line. Charlton are in the betting at 19-10. For me, Gab, of the three playoff finals that we've got coming up this weekend, this is the match I have the most hopes for goals in. I think this one might be booked for goals. Do you agree?
I do tend to agree on that, yeah. What's happening of late, though, if you harp back to the playoffs of the late 90s and early noughties, there seem to be absolutely goal fest with 4-3s and 3-1s and 3-2s and all sorts. Now, in today's day and age, with the pressure on to succeed and get promoted, it kind of kills the game somewhat. Noticeably in the Championship, you get a lot of unders, 1-0s, 0-0s, 2-0s, that kind of thing. We do tend to get more goals and more both teams to score in the League One playoff. And I'm expecting goals in this one. It's quite telling, actually, and I hope this happens at Wembley on Sunday. But in the two league meetings between these two sides, there's been a goal in the first 10 minutes. So if we do get an early goal at Wembley between Charlton and Sunderland, that could really light the fuse to what could be a magnificent game of football that could produce over 2.5 goals and maybe over 3.5 goals. Because I think the one thing about Charlton is they do score plenty of goals. They've got goal scorers in their side. They've got the likes of Lyle Taylor, who's banging in the goals. They've got the likes of Aribo popping up with a goal or two as well. They've got goal scorers all over the place. And I think the great thing about Charlton and Lee Bowyer is they just play attack-minded football. They're actually quite tight at the back as well. You know, they kept 3 clean sheets towards the end of the season. They were winning games 4-0, 2-0 and 4-0. And that's why I really like Charlton in this one, because they're quite tight at the back, but going forward, they can hurt you. They've got quality strikers at this level, and they do score 2s and 3s and 4s. And that's why I really like Charlton, and I'm expecting goals in this one, because, you know, Sunderland already being at Wembley, they drew 2-2 after extra time in the Secretary Trophy against Portsmouth, so they've got that in their favour that they've already been at Wembley. But Sunderland, they're leaky at the back as well. They don't keep that many clean sheets. Ironically enough, they did in both games against Portsmouth. But I think Charlton are better than Portsmouth, even though they finished on the same amount of points. I think Charlton are a different prospect entirely to Portsmouth. I think Portsmouth were tired and leggy, and it looked it. And I think Portsmouth could have played at home to Fratton Park for 2 weeks against Sunderland, and they wouldn't have scored. I don't think Sunderland keep a clean sheet against Charlton. And Sunderland, they've got goal scorers in their side as well. So I'd be amazed if this is under 2.5 goals.
I agree. And overs is the outside of the two in that market as well. 21-20 for over 2.5, while the unders is favourite at 7-10. Obviously, you have the whole fact of it's potentially going to be cagey. It's such a massive game. But as I say, of the three, I think this is the most likely to produce goals over the course of this weekend. Over 3.5 is 5-2. Gav mentioned Lyle Taylor there as well, who's had a really good season. He's been involved in more goals than anybody else in League One this season, scoring 22 and assisting a further 10. So he could have a real key part to play in this match. Over 2.5 goals, 21-20. Over 3.5 goals is 5-2. Charlton and the outright are 19-10. Do you have a favourite bet in this, Gav? Is there anything we've missed so far?
Well, the thing with betting sometimes, you always try to go for that little bit more. Well, that's a bigger price. That's a little bit more. And sometimes keeping it simple is the way forward, actually. And to be fair, looking at Charlton and their form and the goal scorers they've got, I mean, Joe Aribo from midfield is scoring plenty of goals as well. So both look at Laiote and look at Joe Aribo. I think Charlton at 19-10 is absolutely fine. We're on the cusp of 2-1 here for Charlton to win this game. Why Sunderland are 6-4 is beyond me. You know, I know that in the games head-to-head, Sunderland beat Charlton. That was pretty much the first game of the season, by the way. It's a completely different Charlton side then. Sunderland, in fairness, did go to Charlton and draw 1-1. Ironically enough, Sunderland scored both goals that day. They took the lead early on and scored an own goal. It did finish 1-1. But given what we've said about the amount of goals that there could be, if you're backing Charlton at 19-10, and I think that's absolutely fine, but do go for Charlton and possibly both teams score, and do look at Charlton with over 2.5 goals.
Yeah, Charlton and over 2.5 goals in the match is 130, by the way, if you wanted to go in that way. We're going to hear from Al Ross very shortly on the League 2 playoff final, of course. Gav, thank you very much for your work all season. It's been great to get your thoughts on this culmination of the League 1 campaign, and enjoy it this weekend.
Thank you, sir.
Time to talk League 2 now, and taking a look at what is actually the first playoff final game chronologically this weekend, getting underway Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock between Newport County and Tranmere Rovers. Newport in the betting at 2-1. The draw is 21-10. Tranmere are priced up at 29-20. You already got a slew of enhanced odds offers on this game, and no surprise to see James Norwood feature heavily on these. James Norwood to score first was 7-2, is now 9-2. Newport to score in both halves was 4-1. That's now 5-1. 6-1 for both teams to score in the first half instead of 9-2. And either team to win on penalties was 5-1, now 13-2 for that outcome, which of course happened for Newport in their semi-final against Manfield. And joined on the line by a man who's had his eye on League 2 for us throughout the course of the season, Mr. Al Ross. How are you, sir?
I'm very well. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad at all. Looking forward to 3 days, of course, of playoff football coming up. We're, of course, focusing on League 2, as has been your area of expertise throughout the course of the season, between Newport and Tranmere, two sides that finished 6th and 7th in the division. And before we get stuck into this game as a whole, just a quick word on these two teams throughout the course of the season. We've got Tranmere, who've been there, thereabouts in the playoff picture throughout the course of the season, but kind of scrambled over the line a little bit. And Newport, on the flip side of things, they joined the party late, went on that tremendous run to end the season, going 12 games unbeaten, and here they are. There's often a big debate in sport as to how much momentum actually plays a part in relative success and failure of teams. Are you a subscriber to momentum?
I am, as you can probably tell by my tone, with a massive caveat. Momentum is great. The success breeds success, as most football managers will tell you. I'm not entirely sure that the stats of, they're unbeaten in 12 matches at the end of the season, quite holds all the truths. Partly because the Mansfield semi-final against Newport, they didn't actually win either game. It was two draws. You could argue that Mansfield, in some respects, actually played the better football. And Newport got over the line on penalties against a side who, until the final few moments of the season, were going up automatically. If you're playing a side that has lost out on automatic promotion on the final day of the season and are absolutely gutted and clearly you can't pull yourself back up by your bootstraps for a semi-final of a playoff after that. I was amazed that Mansfield put up the fight that they did. But actually, as I'm hinting here, I think that's because I don't think Newport County have quite got the quality that perhaps other people are looking at. Because people, obviously, we're going to be looking at the FA Cup run this season and going, wow, this Newport County side, they can beat anyone. Well, if they can beat anyone on a regular basis in League 2, they shouldn't have scraped in the way they did. The end of the season run was great, but I do fancy, I know they're the favourites in the market, but I do fancy Tranmere to come out on top against a side who, yes, unbeaten in a long time, but just can't seem to get the killer moments down in the way that Tranmere have been able to.
It's a very interesting point you make there about the fact that Newport didn't actually win either of their semi-final matches against Mansfield. Coming up against a Tranmere side who, with the exception of maybe Spurs, are very well versed in what it's like to play at Wembley, because this is the third consecutive season that Tranmere have been to Wembley for one reason or another. So the players and the fans should be well used to the experience of the day. You mentioned star quality there as well. if there is to be a little bit of star quality, a bit of X factor on the pitch, Tranmere have got that in the shape of James Norwood. There arguably isn't anyone who's comparable, well, arguably in the entire league, but certainly not on the Newport side of things. 30 goals he scored this season. And having someone like that who can change a pivotal game is obviously going to be of vital importance for Tranmere. He could be the difference maker, I feel.
Yeah, it's such an... I'm sorry, it is a really obvious pick. But there's a reason it is such an obvious pick. This guy has been the player for Tranmere. It's not just that they wouldn't be here without him. It's that they would be mid-table or below. There's a lot of higher division teams looking at James Norwood and thinking, phew. Because he's not just done it this season. We're looking at... I mean, you mentioned 30 goals already this season. It was 23 last season. Since he joined Tranmere from Forest Green Rovers, who he scored the winning goal against in the semis, he's been an absolute revelation, and he keeps getting better. He did have a little bit of a dip towards the end of the season. People will point to that because I was tipping him towards the end of the season a lot when he went on that tremendous scoring run. He went 4 or 5 games without a goal, I think. Scored the last 2 games of the season. Scored the winner in the playoff semi-final. If you are looking at anyone, I'd be looking at James Norwood. And people will go, all right, fine, what's his anytime price? I wouldn't go anytime. And I know we're going to come on to this, but I'm not expecting that many goals in this. I'd much rather have him to score first in maybe a 1-0 win, 2-0 win at best, I think, for Tranmere, than I would to have any time. Because once you go any time, you're really losing that value on the scorer markets. You look at the first goal scorer, 7-2, last goal scorer, 7-2. Any time is 11-8. There's my answer. So, I mean, you're looking at, what, 3 times the value, and I'm not expecting 3 goals. So I'm playing him first. I could split that to last, to score first or last goal at 15-8, because if you want a low-scoring game, but you fancy a goal scorer, that's your best way in.
That feels to me as though the way that this game is going to pan out as well, potentially low on the goals. The 2 league meetings this season yielded very few goals. It was a goalless draw when Newport hosted, and earlier on in the season, Newport won the away game for them by 1-0. And neither of the semi-finals for these two teams, either legs, really produced an absolute raft of goals. Under 2.5 is 8-15, so it's not been missed by the traders either. Under 1.5 is 7-4. I feel like you're in agreement with me that this could be low scoring.
Yeah, not just... I mean, those prices you flagged up are fine, but and right. I think 8-15 is about right for an under 2.5. But both teams to score is virtually a pick 'em. I'm finding it very hard to make a case outside of the usual set pieces for Newport. I'm finding it hard to make a case for them to actually score in this match. Their scoring record wasn't as good as those around them in the division. The last couple of games for Tranmere this season, yes, you had the 1-0 and the 1-1 you alluded to in the playoff semis. There was a 3-1 at Crawley. That's the exception. You go back further than that. 2-0, 0-0, 2-0, 1-0, 0-0, 1-1. These are low-scoring games that Tranmere have ended the season, keeping it tight and scoring what they needed to and not much more. Newport County, even more. 0-0, 0-0, 3-0, 3-1, admittedly. Then there's 0-0, 1-0, 2-0. 1-1, and those 2 semi-final playoffs, 2 goals across 2 games. It's difficult to go, do you know what, this one's going to really rattle up. This one's going to be a 3-3 thriller, because there's nothing to suggest that in recent history. As you said, there's nothing to suggest that in the recent head-to-heads. The under 2.5 is absolutely fine. The under 1.5, likewise, is absolutely fine. But as I said right at the start, I do fancy Tranmere probably within the 90 minutes, but they're going to do it by a goal. Tranmere and unders or Tranmere 1-0 for me.
I just dug up the scorecast prices as well. Tranmere to win the match 1-0 and James Norwood to score the sole goal at 16-1, which certainly could appeal on the basis of what we've been chatting about over the last couple of moments. Just to wrap up, Al, what would be your favourite bet in this game?
I mean, if it's going to be close, then Tranmere on the outright at 29-20 is fine, but I would hedge my bets slightly and go to lift the trophy at 7-10. Yes, they're the slight favourites, but I would take that if I was going for an acca. I think this is the biggest game involving any team from that city in the next few days. Is that right?
Could well be, yeah.
What else is going on around Liverpool? I do like a lot the enhanced odds James Norwood to score first at 9-2, but I'm just going to go with the one you suggested, actually, which is already on my bet slip. At 16-1, I think James Norwood, yes, he's the obvious, but I think he will score the only goal of the game. And Tranmere will find themselves in League One next season. That is 16-1.
Yeah, indeed, 16-1 for James Norwood to score in a Tranmere win by a goal to nil. Just for technical reasons, is it not the Wirral Tranmere, strictly speaking?
Oh, seriously? Technically, I mean, yeah, technically it's on the other side of the river, isn't it?
There we are then, Al's thoughts on the League Two playoff final coming up on Saturday afternoon. It could be a Tranmere win and James Norwood potentially to get on the score sheet once again this season. Al, thank you very much for that great work throughout the course of the season and enjoy it at the weekend.
Thank you, I will do.
There we are then, the thoughts of Pete Farries, Al Ross and Gav Puchalowski on the Football League playoff finals coming up across the course of this weekend. Thank you very much for listening to the Punt Podcast this season. That is it as far as the Football League goes. But there is still the small matter of two massive European finals taking place next week. The Europa League final on Wednesday and then the Champions League final on Saturday. Of course, four English teams still involved in the competition. So the Punt will return on Monday. Dave Kellner will be joined by Derek McGovern and Alex Dunn to take a look at both the Europa League final between Arsenal and Chelsea and of course the Champions League final between Liverpool and Spurs. Hopefully you can join us for that on the Punt Podcast coming up next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.